If it's not broken, no, I'm sorry, then fix it. As Amber said to me, you're turning the cliche all the way around. Praise God. Strange, we say, you know, if it's not broken, then don't fix it. But sometimes we don't know that things are broken, so we never, ever fix them. You probably heard me talk about my husband's old white van, which is about 22 years of old age. It's kept together because of the dog's hair. That's the only reason why it keeps going. And the last 18 months it's been, or maybe not even 18 months, 12 months, the battery keeps going flat. So you can imagine, he doesn't make the calls, but I ring up the RAC and said, can you come? And they said, again? And you know, and as soon as they come, it's interesting that when they come, they asked about the battery. And I said, you know, it's a pretty new battery. It's not the battery. They said, fine. So it must be something else. And so I blame David that he didn't shut the door properly and he kept making the car go flat. So anyway, it happened again and happened again and again. So last time I felt so embarrassed that even when I rang the clerk, she said, you've rung a lot of times. I said, I'm really sorry, but I don't know what's wrong. I don't think my husband closes the door properly. And she said, what about the battery? But I said, because that's what they all said, there's nothing wrong with the battery because it's quite new. She said, has anyone checked it? I said, no. No RAC mechanic has ever checked it. But the clerk, she knew. And she said to me, well, you know what? There might be just something wrong with the battery. Maybe it's a fizzog. I said, well, something's a fizzog. So he come around and he said, the battery, and he said, the battery's fairly new. I said, but that woman said for you to check it. Can you please check the battery? And guess what? The battery was faulty. After all these times, we've called out the RAC. No one's checked it because we just made a statement. It's a new battery. And sometimes we have strongholds in our life. And I tell you, there's going to be breakthroughs in this place this morning. You know, sometimes we have strongholds in our life and we just think, well, that's normal life, don't we? Isn't that true? I mean, that's my lot in life. And, you know, strongholds don't get broken because we don't realize that we have strongholds in our life. Praise God, but we can have strongholds in our life. And I tell you, God wants to fix strongholds. Amen? We've been singing about it all morning. He wants to fix strongholds. See, God came to set us free. Why has he come to set us free? So we can be free. But we can bring others to freedom. Isn't that what it's all about? It's to bring others to freedom. And I tell you what, people, because of Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, I tell you, our bondages can be broken. Even though we think, nothing wrong with me, it's just, you know, it's in my line, it's because of the way I was brought up, and all those things are probably true, but I tell you what, sometimes we have things in our life that need to be broken by the power of God. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 3. You know, this is the gospel in a nutshell. This is the gospel in a nutshell. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And that word has not changed. It has not changed today. Praise God. But you know, like any truth, we can read the Bible and say, you know, that's true. That is the Bible in a nutshell. That is all about salvation, healing, and deliverance in a nutshell. But you know, I'm telling you, it's the truth that we believe that will set us free. We can read truth all the time in the Word of God, but unless we really believe that truth, it will never set us free. Praise God. We need to believe the truth of God's word, not the lies of the enemy. This is my lot in life. I mean, that's how it's always going to be. I tell you what, people, Jesus Christ died for our freedom. Amen? He wants you to be free. He wants you to fix stuff that is broken and you don't even know that it's broken. And the first thing, how do we do that? How do we fix things that we didn't know were broken? First of all, I tell you what the first thing is, to repent. We need to repent. There is no birth into the kingdom without renouncing one's sins. Amen? And the Holy Spirit shows us. He shows us things in our life. Hasn't He shown you things? You know, I've gone into God and I thought, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. And when I come out, I realize I'm wrong and everybody else is right. Isn't that true? Because the Holy Spirit shows us some things. You know, the first thing, we have to repent. There's no birth into the kingdom without renouncing one's sins. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will show us. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" In Matthew 4, 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.'" In the Strong's dictionary, it says this: repentance means a decision that results in a change of mind, which in turn leads to a change of purpose and leads to a change of action in our life. We will act different. You know, sometimes before we repent, we don't realize that something is broken, do we? We repent, we think, "God, really? Is that really still there after all those years?" Yes, He says. But you know, I love about repentance because you can describe it as doing a U-turn. Isn't that right? You know, not all U-turns are legal, guys, okay? But in God, U-turns are legal. They are legal. You know, have you ever been going one way, brum, 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 and all of a sudden you get into God's presence, brum, brum, brum? I think, oh no. And you do a U-turn. Isn't that right? That's what repentance is all about, is that when we really bring it before God and He shows us and we repent of it, we actually turn like that. Not because we suddenly felt good, not because at that minute we made a decision, but we actually turn our whole life around to go His way and no other way. Amen? I tell you, repentance is all about U-turns. You know, as I said, not all U-turns in the natural are legal, but in the spiritual, they are mandatory. We must actually turn away from those things. And that's the first step of freedom, when we come and we repent and we actually realize that we have to turn away from that stuff. Praise God. You know, sometimes we can just feel emotional or we feel challenged. But repentance is a doing word. Don't you love doing words? Most of the Bible's words in the Bible are doing words. We have to do something. And we have to change complete direction and our motives. We need to fix it. Amen? You know, truth is, Jesus died for us. Do you know He died for every one of you? Is that exciting? Every one of you. He forgave every one of your sins. He delivered us from all our iniquities. He delivered us from all our hurts. Isn't that a great feeling? And all that bitterness. Oh, isn't that good when that goes? Disappointment and all that shame and all that unforgiveness. Jesus died to give us abundant life, people. He died to give us purpose, freedom, and a future. Oh, praise His holy name, that we can walk in freedom no matter what we've done or what's happened in our lives. Are you encouraged this morning? I'm encouraging you. Now I'm going to challenge you, okay? I want you to turn to Luke 13. I'm going to challenge some mindsets this morning. If we just turn to Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Luke 13, 10 to 17. Praise God. "Now He was teaching," this is Jesus, "in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him, 'Woman, You are loosed from that infirmity. And he laid hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." Religious at its best. The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite." Jesus didn't mix words. "Hypocrite." Love it. "Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversities were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You know, we have to understand that Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on a Sabbath. The Pharisees saw a miracle. For 18 years, this woman had been bound. Praise God. And all they were upset about was the fact that he was doing it on the Sabbath. They didn't see the miracle that had happened in her life. Sometimes we these things happen in church, we think, "Oh, we don't do it that way." Really, God always does things out of the box. See, we believe God sets people free. But when he does, sometimes we can get very religious about it, can't we? Truth is, every time tradition is broken, people have a problem. Happens when God moves outside the box, and God always moves outside the box. We become religious like the story. If it's not broken, fix it. We can be so set in our way, we can be so scared to change, hanging on to the old, refuse to break tradition, scared to break out. We need to loosen up. We're not the frozen chosen. We're not. We need to let go and let God. Amen? Praise God. We need to be cutting edge people, reaching out to others, not stuck into just licking our own wounds. Amen? We need to be set free so we can set others free. Praise his wonderful name. I love being alive at this time, especially in God right now. But I tell you what, it's a terrible time to be alive and not in God. It is. The enemy is out in full first force. It's unbelievable the stories I hear week after week after week. I hear of heartbreaks and tragedies beyond wildest imagination. And honestly, if I didn't have my eyes on God, I would go down. That's the fact. But the truth is, God is not taken by surprise what is happening in 2017. He knows exactly what's happening in 2017. And I believe he's bringing us into a greater anointing, a greater breakthrough, amen, that we can break through with the power of God through this darkness. We need to be set free so we can move in this breakthrough and set people free. See, Jesus never came along with tradition. Otherwise, he would have hired a boat instead of walking on water, wouldn't he? And then come down to set people free. Set free those who were doomed for death. God's desire is for people to walk in complete freedom. That's his whole desire. So we can reach other people. He will do whatever it takes to bring that to happen. Despite traditions, God wants you to be set free. Living by tradition, to me, is like being set in concrete. Unmovable. This is the way God will move. Really? You're still going to be there tomorrow because Jesus is not set in concrete. He is not. You know, I'm going to call this woman Sister Bendover. And I'm not mocking anyone that's crippled. It's not. But I just want you to see what it's like, what it had been like to have been her for 18 years. Can my little helper come here? Thank you. Now, Mrs. Bendover, I call her. Actually, it was Sister Bendover. She was completely bent over. Meow. She was completely... I can do that because she's my granddaughter, if you don't know. But imagine... No, you're not allowed to look up. You can't look up. You're completely bent over. All you can see is your clay feet. All you can see is your ugly kneecaps. You can't see anything. When you walk in, you say, "Good morning, Mrs. Kneecap," because you can't see anything. Because, see, she's completely bent over. I'm not mocking, but can you see? But she was really bent over, that lady. But you know what? We can be bent over and all we see is our clay feet. All we can see is all our own problems. I tell you, when you look up, because God wants to set us free. Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Bendover. Praise God. We mightn't be physically bent over, but we can be spiritually bent over. Can you imagine it? You can see there. Amber couldn't see anything. Your vision's completely distorted. Is that true? And your eyes are on yourself all the time, isn't it? Because that's all you can see is yourself. Can you see that? Continually. Looking at social life. You know, just continue looking at clay feet. Imagine that lady's social life. It would honestly be good morning kneecap. But sometimes we're not bent over physically and we more or less get up in the morning and say, "Good morning, clay feet," don't we? We can think, well, there are many, many Mr. and Mrs. Bendovers and little Bendovers out there. But I'm going to tell you something. This woman actually was Sister Bendover. Oh, that changes it a bit. Not Mrs. Bendover. She was Sister Bendover. It's a difference. So now what am I trying to say? I can hear the cement mixers coming out, mixing up the concrete. Listen, the word says that Jesus was teaching in a synagogue and the woman was present there. Sister Bendover was in church. Isn't that right? She was identifying herself with the believers sitting under Jesus' ministry. The Bible says she had a spirit of infirmity and she was in church, people. She was a Jew, daughter of Abraham, believed in God, and she was in the synagogue. We can be in church and still have strongholds in our lives. Now the cement mixers will really start working. Listen to the truth. We can still be born again and have strongholds in our lives. That's why we think nothing is broken. I did. I had such strongholds in my life as a young person. Rejection, hate, shame. I could name them off and off. But if you'd met me, you would have thought I was the happiest teenager alive. But inside I was so broken, I was too scared to even look at the brokenness. But praise God, I was found in the Lord's presence and he set me free. I had to have deliverance. That's how bad it really was. And I know I'm not an exception. What do you think is happening when people are being touched by God? I mean, do you really believe that he's setting them free from whatever? You know, he'll do it whatever way he wants to do it. I was actually, when I was really set free, I was about 27 years of age. And I was going to be a leader in the Apostolic Church. You must understand that is huge. No women were leaders. I mean, you know, your job was to do the dishes. Actually, when I said something to my husband, he told me my ministry was dishes. And one day when I was going out to minister, I said to him, he said to me, "You know what? You're ministering and I'm doing all the dishes." I said, "You got it right, mate." See, God will set us free. But I was going to be a leader this day. And it was an Easter morning. And you know, I was sitting at the back. And all of a sudden, I was sitting on the seat. And suddenly, I saw myself in front of me. You think having one of me is bad enough. But there I had two of me. And when I looked at me, I had black spots all over me. I couldn't believe it. I was looking at all these black spots and the Lord started speaking to me. And I says, not my fault. Rejection, not my fault. Not my fault. Big list, not my fault. He said, but you've got them. You're holding on to them. I want you to do something. So I did what any woman would do. I ran out the church. I wasn't made a leader that day. I hid in the house for 2 days. I couldn't believe I had so much stuff. But praise God. God just doesn't show you and leave you that way. He set me free. He set me free. You know, we can be free. We don't have to believe that we've got to live with this stuff all the time. See, Satan loves to bind people up. He loves to block your vision. He wants you to look at your clay feet. He doesn't want you to know that you've got broken things in your life. You know, we need a revelation of God to show us the places where we're bound. And God does it in so many ways. Me, he had to do it like that. He had to show me all the black spots. Otherwise, I would never have believed him. But, you know, God does it in many ways. You know what? We get so used to stuff in our life that we just don't fix it. I reckon if that woman hadn't said something about the battery, we would have gone on forever ringing the RAC. Sister Bendover, 18 long years. You know what? We can be bound even longer. I've met 70 and 80-year-olds are still suffering from things that happened when they were young. Sister Bendover was in church. Can you imagine the effort it was for her to get there? And the truth is, sometimes we all find an effort to get to church sometimes, don't we? Let's be honest. But you know, Jesus is always on the scene. He's always on the scene. He's always waiting to lead us on. He's always waiting to set us free. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I knew that he saw this lady over there this morning and he wanted her to know that his eyes were upon her and his eyes are upon you. Praise his holy name. And Jesus is always on the scene. And he called this woman to himself. And you know what? She was set free immediately. We think immediately, 18 years. But it was immediately. You know what? She didn't sit there and say, you can't heal me, Jesus, because it's the Sabbath. Did she? You can't break tradition. Jesus called and she went. Isn't that right? When Jesus calls and shows us stuff, instead of hiding in the closet like I did, we need to say, okay, here I am. Free me. Praise God. So tradition was bound. The leaders in that church were bound by tradition, but she wasn't. You know what? I'll just show you what happened. Come up here, Mrs. Bendover. She's here and she's bowed down and Jesus calls her. Notice something. He didn't go down over to her and bend down and say, oh, you poor little mite, what's it like down there? Did he? Hear me. He said, come here. And what happened? She ran. You were still crippled, but you ran. And be healed. Hey! But can you see? Jesus did not take his vision off the Father God. Isn't that right? He didn't stoop down to her level of vision. And so often we see people broken and we just get down with them all the time, self-pity. We need to call them up to Jesus Christ and know that he can heal them, he can deliver them, he can set them free. Amen? Yes. Jesus knew she'd been like that for 18 years. No longer how long we've been bound in sin or habits or hurts or disappointments or strongholds or sickness, Jesus sees us. Is that incredible? He's on the scene. She was not just a face in the crowd, and you know what? Neither are you. It's a young man here, handsome-looking young man. What's your name? And he's looking at you right now. Look, he sees your qualities. He sees the integrity. He sees the honesty. He also sees a lot of questions. You have a lot of questions. You've got a real sharp mind, and often this mind can turn against us, but he's given you that sharp mind, and you've been asking him questions and questions and questions. You want to know more. You want to see the reality of all this. And he says, Luke, I'm going to touch you in such a way that you'll know without a doubt, without a doubt, that I have amazing plans for your life, that I'm on your side, Luke. I will answer your questions, but the question is, will you listen? He wants you to listen. Because I tell you what, you are a young man of integrity, and you struggle with some things, but he just sees in you such quality. And so does the enemy. He tries to rob you. He tries to lie to you. And God says, I see you. And I'm setting you free from those things right now. Just close your eyes right now. John, come, just put his hand on your shoulder. I just pray right now, Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you for breaking any strongholds, Father, that are trying, especially from the past, trying to pull him down, trying to get him out. I break him right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for this incredible young man of God. Amen. Praise God. See, the same compassion that healed this woman, that same compassion is here today. Praise God. See, the works of the devil are what? To kill and destroy and steal the souls and bodies and minds of God's creation. But Christ has come to destroy all the wicked ways of Satan. Christ has overcome Satan. You have to understand that. Christ has given us believers power and authority. The pianist can come now, that'll be good. Let's just look at Mark 16, chapter 16, verses 15, 16, and 17. And we're going to finish off with this. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That's it. Praise God. They will be delivered. It's not the will of God that people be held in bondage. Liberty, freedom, broken yokes, released burdens, healing, and liberated captives are the earmarks of the New Testament ministry. Amen? God is here to touch people, to set people free. He can make crooked paths straightened. Is that incredible? I have a saying. It's my saying. He's the only one that can unscramble scrambled eggs. But isn't it true? He's the only one that can do that. I tell you, he wants us to be free so we can bring freedom to others. Praise God. See, the bend over family, and we have many of them everywhere. We have bend over families, don't we? Some of us come from a bend over family. Probably many of us do. But I tell you what, the bend over family is not hard for God. It's easy for God to straighten out those families. Amen? And so many families need to know freedom, and their whole families will be straightened out. Psalm 129 verse 4 says, the Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Praise God. He's here this morning to bring freedom. Bring freedom. Just close your eyes for a moment. And I'm just going to hand to the chairperson for a moment. God. Oh God, if there's anyone here this morning, Father, that hasn't come to the point of repentance, Father. They haven't seen the need of turning their life over to Jesus. They haven't seen the need of doing a U-turn with their life. Or they may have given their life to Jesus, but they just can't seem to stay in the U-turn. They keep going back to the old flesh, back to the old ways. Father, I just pray, if there's anyone in this room this morning, Father, you just come and touch them right now. If that is you, just raise your hands. I will pray for you later, especially if that is you. And you know what? You keep U-turning back into stuff. You keep U-turning. But he wants you to walk on the road to freedom. Oh, Father, I thank you right now. Thank you right now. And Father, I just pray that this word, Father, will just Father, we'll take hold of this word this morning and know that sometimes, even though it doesn't seem broken, we need to fix it. That when we're blaming other people all the time for our problems, maybe we need to fix it. Oh, Father, I pray right now that you just touch, you'll come with your love and your caring, Father, and just touch each one here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I will call a line as soon as I'm handed back the mic. But, you know, if God has spoken to you this morning and you just want to be set free, you just know there's some things there that need to be set free, I would love to pray for you this morning. You know, this is all about the fact that we can bring freedom to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.